good bird. Buddy's whistling in the background there.
Yeah.
In the background. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science Energy Show, August 18, 2011, featuring Steve Barish, the amazing host from the coast. So how are you doing, Steve? What's happening?
Pretty good.
Man?
Pretty good. Doing a lot of energy work. I got a new email address. It's really nice. It's really, really great. To have that kind of, these people gave it to me for nothing.
Well, that's the right price. Anything you get for free is a good price.
Yeah, for sure.
I've got my Firefox here. What's the email address? What's the
email site? Is Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, Barish.com.
That's A-B-A-R-I-S-C-H?
B-A-R-I-S-H.
Oh, I keep putting a C in there for Charlie.
Ah.
Let's see if you're on the search yet. I want to see a million hits come up. Okay, we got the artist. SteveBarish.com. Oh, I got a C in there here. Steve Barish. There's a guy over there that's got a C, like I always spell it. Okay. Stephen
Barish, S-T-E-V-E-N, Barish.com.
Yeah, B-A-R-I-S-H.
That's correct.
Okay. Trying to find it here. I'm just looking up. Everybody out there should be checking it out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess I got to do it. StephenBarish.com, go.
Yeah.
I'm not finding it.
It's www.http.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be right there, Fred. We were looking at it today, and I'm trying to see how many people have called. Nobody's called because I haven't done anything with it.
Yeah, B-A-R-I-S-H.
Right.
StephenBarish.com.
Yeah.
I want to see this thing. I'll go up here to the header, maybe. These search engines aren't always perfect, you know.
Okay.
I'll try something else here. I'll go to www.barish.com. Now I've got www in front of it.
Right.
See what we get now. Better see a website here. I got L.A. Barb. It says, sorry, StephenBarish.com cannot be found.
Huh. Well, it's on, let me see. It's on, I think, Yahoo, Ustream, and the other one, Google.
Yeah, that's what I'm on, Google. Are you on Facebook? You're on Facebook?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Some Stephen Barishes that are on Facebook. I don't see it on here.
Huh.
Got your computer on?
Yes, I have my computer on. I'm looking at you.
Okay, then just take a break and see if you can find it. Tell me where I'm wrong. Maybe.
Okay, I'm going to just put it over here.
LA Bars and Pubs, that was kind of...
Let's see here, Stephen.
Is it I-S-H? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm spelling it. No,
B-A-R-I-S-H.
Yeah, that's why I spelled it.
Yeah, Stephen, S-T...
Yeah, E-V-E-N, yeah. B-A-R-I-S-H.
Right. Let me just see here,
Stephen. Artist by that name. Oh, wait a minute. Have they got you down as an artist?
No.
No, this is an artist.
Huh.
He is Stephen... Oh, he's Barish, though. No,
hey, guys.
He's not spelled the same. We want Barish. Barish. He's trying to refer me over to this. There's a, it It's not Dash Barris, is it? Stephen
no.
Dash?
No.
Okay.
B-A-R-I-S-H.
Great drama on the show already. We're starting out, and Steve lost his website. That's somebody
Hello?
Calling in. Hello.
Hi, this is Caroline, who helped with Steve's website. You guys
oh,
are
thank
hilarious.
You. Caroline is the designer.
I just wanted to
designer.
Let you know that the website stevebarris.com.
Stevebarris.com.
Okay, that makes a big difference.
It does. Okay. They're so wonderful, these people. They just they love my work, and I help them, and they help
oh,
me. It's
Steve,
just wonderful.
Steve, your work is phenomenal. Anyone listening, you know, I'd really encourage you to check Steve and Fred out in New York City when they're there. And on the website, you'll see the countdown. It's probably in about 61 days now till Fred
yeah.
and Steve are together
yeah,
in New
I should
York.
Have you working on my website.
And Steve, just to let you know, we need to get your PayPal up there because Michael was talking to one of his clients who is in Hollywood and works with a lot of really big people, and she's a beautiful, beautiful soul, and she's seen your website and truly resonated with your work, and she's going to be booking a session with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, now we got stevebarris.com. You're also on part of the search engine with me. There we are. There's a picture of you wearing some kind of
yep.
an alien device around your neck.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that beautiful?
Do you know how to update it yourself now?
No, they're going to Caroline's coming down from Toronto. They're going to teach me how to do everything, so it'd be really nice.
Yeah, there's your clinic phone.
Yep.
48 days, and we'll be in New York. I'm going to New
yes.
Orleans.
Looking
week.
Forward
yeah,
to
that.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and again, I encourage all the listeners to check Steve and Fred in New York in October. It's going to be a phenomenal time where you get to meet with other spiritual family and people who are really, you know, doing a lot of great work.
That's really cool.
Yeah. How's it look, Fred?
Looks good. It's a good start.
Thank you.
Yeah. Real simple.
Well, it must be good if Fred gives it the thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just looking now. What I thought I would do is I'm just going to just take the .com. I just want to see what they have. I'm going to see what they have in the search engine just with your name only. Now, I'm in this. Yeah, here's the Healing Hour with Stephen A. Barish. 703,000 results. Of course, they're not all yours. Then Dr. Fred Bell's news flashes.
Right.
Says you're on Facebook.
Oh, wonderful.
Be a different one. And Lindekin.
And he's also got a YouTube site as well, and that's on YouTube/ Steve Barris.
Okay. It's here it says Steve Barris 65 Cobra.
Yeah, somebody put my Cobra on there.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Nice. That's a great time. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody out there, look at check out the Hot Wheels. Where was that picture taken anyway?
It was here in the city.
Was that, what was it, in a shopping center?
No, it was actually in a shopping mall. We brought our cars to a shopping mall, and we took pictures of it, and it was really, really great.
They on yours, they had it cordoned off, though.
Yes, they had it cordoned off so nobody would go and sit in the car.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, they'd be climbing in, huh?
Oh, they'd be climbing all over that car like crazy.
So how many cars are in there?
About 75.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, really, really good.
So what else?
Caroline?
Do is, I guess she's there not anymore.
Yeah.
What I will do is I will send this link over to Mikkel and Rebecca so they can see it.
Okay.
And I'll send it over to Rebecca. So anyway, today they on the History Channel, they finally are releasing the information on the reverse engineering that's been going on at Kirtland Air Force Base in Area 51.
Right, right.
It's finally.
You've been doing a lot of work over there?
Well, they're talking about a ship that they crashed a while back, And well, here's another one: Nuclear Receptor Energy Bear's Buddy Boo, co-hosting Fred Bell on Ustream. That's pretty good. Well, there's a lot of Steve Bearish on here. I'm really surprised. I didn't realize you're such a high profile. You're even a lawyer. That's pretty good.
I don't know if that's the same thing, Fred.
I'm sure it is. You sound like an attorney sometimes. That's funny. Now, you got quite a buzz. You're on Dr. Bell's Health Science Energy Show, Part 2. Yeah, there you go, man. I'm glad you finally made it to the big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Thank
amazing.
You.
Yep, that's amazing. Going back to your website now. I want to check it out a little bit more. SteveBearish.com. Well, it's just, here's another guy over here. What's he, Steve? Yours is a tricky one. Steve, his name is Barsh. SteveBearish.com. We want SteveBearish.com. I have to get the right thing typed in here. I want to go back and look at your website a little bit.
Sure.
Steve. BARISH.com.
I just wanted to thank Michael and Caroline so much for all the efforts that they put in. And I hope and pray that we can stay friends forever.
Yeah, no, that's good. So we found out what was finally wrong with the grandson over in England.
Oh, yeah.
And seems like he has what's called, I think it's ARL leukemia. So they start chemotherapy on him now, if you can believe that.
Wow. So young?
Yeah, I found your website again. Yeah, it's kind of sad, actually. Really is. What can you do? You know, that's their way of doing medicine over there in England. And they probably created the leukemia with all the transfusions they were doing. And I work with a group over here. It's St. Luke's leukemia. I've been donating to that for quite a number of years. It's a children's hospital, St. Luke's Children's Hospital.
Right.
So I'm going to get them involved. I think they're probably a little bit more up on these therapies than the English are. They're back with their system over there in England because it's community.
Mm-hmm.
That's a disadvantage of having a community system where you don't pay for the health care. You get what you pay for, you know?
Right, right.
And this type of leukemia, in 90% of the cases, it's curable.
Mm-hmm.
And in a few cases, it's reoccurring. But roasting the baby in a chemotherapy, mustard gas, at that age, three or four weeks, was a little rough.
Yeah.
I was born with polio, so I didn't have to get any chemotherapy,
Right.
Sort of helped me get into, holistic medicine, being born with polio. I still have a slightly concave chest from it, from having that happen to me, which, that's what the, but I, but polio, the year I was born in 43, that was a ravaging disease, what I mean?
Yes.
And penicillin, that's what they used to treat it with, and that was brand new.
Right.
And later on, I developed an allergic reaction to it, but in the beginning it worked, and I was cured.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was fucked up for 6 months. I don't remember that. Part of my life I don't remember. I don't choose not to remember it. I just had to fix one of my lenses here. I hate contact lenses, It can just cause them a problem. You don't wear them, right?
No, I don't wear contacts. I wear glasses.
If you were wearing them, you'd hate them. I've been wearing them for so long.
Really?
Hang on one second. I just got to get a mirror. I'll be right back. You just got to put this thing back in.
Bye. Sure.
One second here. It when you wear them, they get blurry. Yeah, they get really blurry, and I couldn't see.
Now, oh, really?
Yeah, because I have two different prescriptions. One on one eye for close-up, and the other one for the long distance.
Mm-hmm.
I used to could see up close with the long distance ones on both eyes, but my eyes changed. They went from, they actually got better. They went from 2400 to 2200. But so anyhow, I've got to read this. It's time where many point to see so many tools and trinkets of cards and crystals. Steve Barish is a phenomenal yet humbling healing master who points everyone back on their inner heart of God. He takes no credit for the remarkable abilities to heal and balance others and points all back to God. Yet in truth, yep. Steve takes his students beyond spirituality into mastery. Each and every healing session is individual and are powerful, and many travel far and wide to experience the miraculous healing energies that Steve brings through. That's quite a big, long write-up here. You know that?
Thank you.
Yeah. He's
thank you.
He's been a massage therapist over 15 years.
Actually,
bright,
almost 20
man.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, she's at 29?
No, 20 years just about, yeah.
Oh, okay. He was humble and resides in the heart energy, which he constantly shares with his clients and radio listeners on www.bbsradio.com. So we got a little plug there. And many look outside for answers. Steve carries the sacred energies, allow his students and clients to awaken the master within and integrate the greatness of self-mastery into their daily lives. Steve has performed many, many amazing miracles, such as levitation, healing from terminal disease, to name a few. Healing sessions can be done remotely or in Steve's clinic located in Rochester, New York. And massage and healing can also be done on location at your own home. Steve travels the world at client request and works with some very high-profile people who personally ask for Steve's healing services and divine message gifts that he shares. Then it goes on down here. Of course, I got a plug in here. Steve has also been handpicked. I skipped a little of it by Dr. Fred to test run, align, and provide feedback to Dr. Fred Bell's projectors and utilize the Andromeda and Pleiadian technologies. Combined with Steve's inherited heart-oriented healings and massage, clients have profoundly positive life-altering and life-shifting experiences that have catapulted their spiritual growth and their physical health and mental health, well-being into 100-fold. And then your phone numbers are down there.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we do with that, we have to celebrate. So what we have here, you got your thing back on your computer?
What's that?
Are you looking at me again now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. We're celebrating. This is how we celebrate.
Oh. That's
this
great.
Where it all started.
Yeah,
three
that's stage, our stage.
Stage.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, that's where it started for both of us. Tag strip. Those are the lights that we used to look at before we go racing down to beat our opponent, right?
Yeah.
I hated it when I got beat. I used to kick my car. I rarely got beat, but when I did, I was mad. I was a very poor loser. I didn't get mad at my opponents. I just got mad at my car, or me.
Well, you had that 62 Z11 Chevy. That was rare.
Yeah, it still is rare. A lot of people I've talked to out here in Temecula, because it's the hot rod capital of Southern California, don't believe I actually have one. I say, yeah, I had it. And where'd you get it from? Well, Borg, Boys, and Wade. Through Vince Califano and blah, blah, blah. I remember all of it, you know. But
yeah.
So anyway, get
Fred
back.
Fred Bell did have a 62 bubble top 409 with a Z11 in it. It was so rare.
Yeah, they're
so rare.
A quarter of a million and up now. I think one was like 375,000 now, 375,000.
Yeah. I wonder what the old reliable's worth.
And the old goddamn car out the door was, let's see, 5,500 or something back in those days. Under 6,000 for the whole shit.
Under $6,000, yes.
Yeah, under 6,000 now.
I think my Chevy was $3,300, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I had a 62 before that. And then I had a 63 with that one. And then I had, after that, I went over to Corvettes. I don't know whatever happened to that engine. I remember, I don't know if I sold the car with the engine and all at once, mm-hmm. or took an engine out and sold them separately. I'm not sure how what I did. I had the big air cleaner, you know, how it breathed through the front
right.
engine
right.
compartment right into the passenger. It sucked air out of there. And that thing was amazing. It was getting tired when I got rid of it because we raced the hell out of it. You know, it probably needed a new set of rings and pistons and that in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But those big old 426 Dodges, it was the Hemis.
Oh, the Hemis, yeah.
I used to beat the shit out of them. They didn't know what to think with a 409.
I can imagine that.
Because I had 409. I put 409 stickers on the car. I didn't put Z11 on there.
Yeah, well, the Z11 was so rare. I mean, it's... In
Nobody
62,
would have
I think,
known what it was anyway.
Yeah, the 62, I think the only one that had one was Hayden Prophet and Dave
yeah.
Strickler.
And I beat Hayden Prophet.
You did?
You bet I did.
Wow.
World Championship run trophy. He beat me in a couple of races. I mean, when it came on to the World Championship, I think it was in 66, I cleaned
yeah.
the clock.
Right.
I beat him. He wasn't too happy about that.
I imagine he wasn't because you're, that's incredible.
Yeah. I can get the name of him, but anyhow, getting back to the reverse engineering, they had a, that's still probably going on, but it's over on the History Channel. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about we have a they're pretty much saying we have a reverse engineered ship.
Right.
They did a computer image of the inside of it, which is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that they covered with it was the reason why it was round and saucer shaped, and then they went in and quoted some amazing saucer shaped sightings that had occurred. One big sighting, I forget what year it was. It was in the 50s, I think. And it was a big, where a bunch of them buzzed a B-29, so it had to be in the 50s. And the whole crew saw it, and it was all on radar and everything. But
right.
Evidently, they got one. It looked like they had it over at Kirtland Air Force Base, which is interesting, instead of Area 51. And they got it, and it was it crashed, but it hadn't done much damage. And they quickly got it hovering. You know, they got it hovering pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And they were explaining that stage of how it worked as gravity waves. And of course,
right.
then they cited Albert Einstein's Jupiter of 1919 effect of the eclipse of Jupiter, where stars on the other side of the sun, which was being blanked by Jupiter, were visible above Jupiter in the black sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called gravitational lensing. And that's when Einstein became a household name.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like the only way I could describe it here would be, let's say there's a star on the back side of the moon.
Right.
And with gravitational lensing, it would appear to be on the front side. The light would go warp right around the moon, and you see it on the front, even though it's on the back.
Okay.
And so they took that information, which is basically called the general theory of relativity, not the unified field, or not the special theory of relativity, which is something else. And they explained that that the ship could probably create that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then they showed the inside of the saucer. It was like there's two sections to it. The heart of the ship, where the bathroom is, and they showed what they call the facilities and some of the
right.
others, like an inner circle. And then there's a hallway between the inner circle and the outer wall. So there's a hallway. It goes all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway around in the hall, sitting out there was the where you sit and fly the darn thing, you know, where all the controls are.
Okay.
And I believe, you know, how we're getting into the studies now of... Buddy Blue, what are you doing, Sweech? What are you doing here? Yeah. You know how we're studying, you know, people can take their eyeball and like Stephen Hawking and create control a computer. Or, yeah, he can do that. Or they have artificial limbs now that attach to your body, and you can manipulate, you know, arms or legs or fingers or whatever now by neural points from your mind.
That's amazing.
That's where we are now. So they said the aliens obviously have taken that. They assumed the technology to be 1,000 years ahead of us. That's what their estimate was.
Okay.
But they are figuring it out. And then they got into the energy source, which is an antimatter generator.
Yes.
And then they, of course, they showed the laboratory, the name of that laboratory. It's up north there, nearby you, where the it's a 4 mile in diameter linear accelerator. It's circular.
Oh yes, that accelerator I think is in the if I remember correctly, didn't they do something? I think it's in. God, I think near Canandaigua, somewhere along the way.
Yeah, it could be over there in your neighborhood somewhere. And they, they're called Fermilab, F-E-R-M-I
right.
Lab. And they, you know, it's a miniature version of the 30-mile Large Hadron Collider, but they're not using it as a Large Hadron Collider. A Large Hadron Collider has two opposing beams where particles are accelerated in one direction at the speed of light, and then they're accelerated in another direction of the speed of light, and they crash, you know.
Gosh, right.
So theoretically, they're hitting twice the speed of light at impact.
Yeah.
And so that's one study of the atomic world. This one doesn't do that. This one accelerates in one direction, and it then hits with a proton beam, and then it hits a piece of copper. And then the copper, for every 500,000... positive protons that smashes into the copper, they get one antiproton. And
mm-hmm.
then, in order to hold on to it, they have to put it in a magnetic dish that keeps it suspended so that it can't touch the walls of the dish.
Okay.
You follow me? Like it's like a round donut-shaped dish. Because mm-hmm. if it touches the wall, it's going to neutralize itself and create energy.
Right.
And then they went on to explain that, you know, a good fusion reaction is, you know, like our sun is 3 or 4% efficient. You know, antimatter is 100% efficient.
Right.
So then they proceeded to show a drawing of the generator. And then they were then they went in to explain more about the field of relativity. And then they started to explain the time travel part of relativity.
Mm-hmm.
In the fact that you approach infinite mass as you approach the speed of light.
Right.
And it would take you at the speed of light 4.5 light years to get out to Proxima Centauri, which is our nearest star,
mm-hmm.
and then come back, and everybody here would age 75 years because the time
wow.
relationship is different, you know, when you're approaching the speed of light, which is true.
Yeah.
That's been in a laboratory. But that won't do any good to get out. They figured that the nearest star supporting life to Earth, as what the community is saying now, is 50 light years from now. Okay, that would put us out about Theta Reticuli, just a little bit, 15 light years beyond that, which is 35 light
yeah.
years. So then, come on, bird. So then they explained the Einstein-Rosen bridge. And the way they did that is, they showed a picture of New York, then they showed a picture of Paris, and they said that this would be a straight line, but they just bent the paper in half so that Paris was right underneath New York.
Huh.
That creates what's called a wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to find these wormholes, and they said in Einstein's mathematics along these lines, there were many, many, many wormholes in his map all over the place.
Okay.
Which indicates gateways to many parts of the universe that could be basically instantaneous. However, the way they looked at it today, It would take a lot of energy to do that, to make that jump. And you'd have to have a map. So then they went back into the spaceship and do some pictures, shows up where the people sit.
Right.
It appeared, you know, it appeared like there were several different maps of the universe, but they didn't understand them yet. They hadn't got that far in deciphering these maps that came up on these screens, which are basically on the wall of the spaceship,
right.
The outer wall, the inside of the outer wall.
Right.
Of the skin,
right.
On special things. And there's funny-looking chairs there where they sit. So then they went ahead and explained, but once these maps were set in place, that antimatter generator would generate enough energy to jump a wormhole. Because basically what you're doing temporarily is when you locate a wormhole, you are creating yourself as a black hole, and then you're being sucked through there and coming out on the other side. And that's some energy management. And that's what the antimatter generator is. You follow me?
Yes.
So I was laughing my ass off because in my book, Rays of Truth and Crystals of Light, which I wrote in 1999, which is 12 years ago, I published a theoretical system almost identical to the one they were showing on TV today.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
Huh? That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So those people out there that have the Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light book, and look in the back section under Advanced Propulsion System and see the theoretical stuff and factual stuff that the Pleiadians gave to me back, going back into the 1970s. You know?
Right.
No, that's how I
that's
built
amazing,
that,
Fred.
You know, off that technology.
Yeah.
Because then they went into the teleporter. And they were but they were a little lost on that part. They went into weapon systems.
Mm-hmm.
They have energy beam weapons. Then they showed us, you know, that what's going on at Kirtland Air Force Base. That's our number one weapons beam weapon, laser weapon center, as we most people know already.
Mm-hmm.
And then they compared that to the alien weapon systems, which they don't quite understand yet, but they're playing with them. So this all falls under Project Awareness, and it was very interesting to see. And they had Michio Kaku, of course, has been on this show. He was on there, and a lot of really famous people were on there. Paul Dirac, there was pictures of him, which I wrote about in my newest book, who really brought this antimatter stuff forward in physics. That was Paul Dirac did that back in the
50s.
And we wrote about him on the Inside Track. So it looks like we're still got the jump on them, because they don't understand the quantum side of it yet. For several reasons. Number one, they're still playing around with antimatter generators to generate a huge force field, whereas you don't need to use an antimatter generator to bust out a force field. You can do it through natural resonance. Hmm. And that's what they haven't got, because when you have a system that produces natural resonance, that means that you can use a thought process, which is they did get into a disc process like our projector, and you can amplify that now with an antimatter generator, which would take far less juice out of the antimatter generator.
Right.
It would focus itself into a reality and crossing those Einstein-Rosen bridges. Now, the aliens don't look at the Einstein-Rosen bridges as we do. They don't see them that way at all. We're still thinking in 3D. We're drawing in three dimensions. We're thinking in three dimensions. Einstein thought in five or six dimensions. That's why he was so different. But most people, even our own scientists, are still thinking 3D. And people like Kaku are getting out of it, but he's thinking of resonance. He's doing resonance like a violin string, and Leonard Susskind, and they're working on the string theory, which is part of it, but that's the vibration, you know, part.
Right.
So when you have the ability to quantumly entangle something versus energize it through a bridge, an Einstein-Rosen bridge, you can instantaneously be there, but you can also because of what the work has been done of Alan Aspect of France, you can now have teleportation. So I was able to deduct teleportation out of their explanation because they hadn't quite figured out how far they could get by leaving out the quantum stuff. And they admitted they didn't understand the quantum involvement that this, the spaceship that they're reverse engineering obviously had.
Mm-hmm.
So they flat out admitted on, you know, national TV that, yeah, we're getting closer to it, but we don't understand that part of it. We do know there's an antimatter generator on board. And I think they were hinting at the fact that they actually had antimatter, and they were showing in drawings how that the aliens contained the antimatter, which, you know, we don't even have a tenth of a gram of it, and they have like a pound of it, you know.
Right, so they have a
containment system in that ship that's still working, or that ship wouldn't be hovering, but they haven't figured out yet. So I thought it was finally we're getting, we're getting out of the BS, oh, the UFOs don't exist crap, into understanding and presenting to the world now that they not only exist, this is how they work, this is how far we are with our research, and this is where we're going with them. You know what I mean? And every one of these principles is nothing more than a principle of the human body anyway.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, those, you know, that's so much fun when we use the teleporting aspect of it to do remote healings with that projector. You know, when we visualize somebody, they're breathing poison, we're muscle testing them, they have no protection whatsoever, we visualize them and they're automatically protected. You know that test we did,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
You know, that shows exactly. And that's a physically, last time I did that, I had the audience do it to themselves. I didn't even do any pushing. You know, I took it a step further. That was up in San Francisco. I said, I'll let the audience do it, you know?
Wow.
Then they know I'm not connected to anything. There's no wizardry here going on.
Right, but
I let the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do some of that in New York.
Oh, yeah, we'll do it in front of an audience because I'm going to do a three-stage. I've got to start working on this tomorrow. I got to do a three-stage lecture series. I'm not going to just do electronic harassment. I'm going to do history, too.
Wonderful.
You know, history, all this stuff, historical stuff.
Wonderful.
And how all this came forward, you know. People, even though I've done that part before, there's brand-new people out there, and most people that have heard it before need to hear it again because they didn't understand it in the first place, you know. But
yes.
It'll be a real interesting series of lectures that we do back
yes.
here. This.
That'll be a lot of fun, Fred, because people need to see you again. We all miss you out here.
Yeah, I know. That's what everybody tells me. I like New York. I like New York. I like walking around. I get more exercise there because I walk from one end of Manhattan to the other, you know.
Well, it's so much fun in New York to walk,
That's, what, 2 or 3 miles, isn't it? I don't know how long it is. I usually walk.
Long.
Oh, I walked, I don't know. I walked from Greenwich Village, you know, that's near the financial, all the way up to Central Park and beyond, you know, half all the way to the far side of Central Park from the, 13th Street, 96th Street, Beaker Street. How long is that? That's quite a ways, isn't it?
That's got to be quite a ways. That could be 5 miles.
Yeah, I've done that many times.
Wow.
I used to eat those big old meals. It's one restaurant down there back when I used to eat red meat. I haven't had it in years now, but I eat this giant prime rib, and I'd have all this energy, and I'd have to burn it off. So I'd walk to the hotel. In those days, I was staying in the Upper East Side up there by the United Nations building, and that was where my hotels were. And then I was taxicabbing and over to the expos during the... Because we were doing expos up that way, too.
You were?
Oh, yeah. We did a bunch of them at the Roosevelt Hotel. That's up the Upper East Side. It's just past Grand Central Station, actually.
Grand Central Station, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a little bit north of there. Yeah.
Do you want me to give out some phone numbers here?
Yeah, go ahead. I think everybody's sympathized out there, but go ahead and put them out anyway.
Sure. It's 1-888-815-9756. 1-530-327-7602. And please give us a call. We really want to answer your questions and send a lot of love out to you guys. So please give us a call. Thank you.
That's a lot cheaper to talk to us on the show and get information and call over here and get charged for it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I do everything here for free. But when people, I do consultations from time to time. If they buy products, then I, you know, subtract the fee off the
patients.
But I find that if people pay for it, they listen. I used to do it for free, and I get much better results. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, this is Eric.
Hi, how are you doing?
I see. Hi,
Good.
Steve.
Dr. Fred's here. You want to talk to him?
Yeah, I have a question on niacin.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you got to say? What's your name?
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric. Where are you calling from?
Of Phoenix.
Oh, cool. How's the temperature over there today?
I heard on NPR when I was about an hour ago that it was, or 30 minutes ago, that it was 109.
Yeah, 109.
So,
huh?
Wow, that's warm.
That's Steve likes it like that. that over there in Phoenix, when you want breakfast, just go out and throw an egg on the street.
Yeah, or on top of your car.
Well, hose it down so it's clean, and then and then throw an egg on it. You got yourself a scrambled egg or over easy, however you want it, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's happening, Eric? What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm taking niacin. I'm taking about 500 milligrams, and I noticed early in the week I'm no longer flushed. And I was wondering,
niacin?
What's the maximum?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the reason you're taking 500?
Yeah, I was taking 500.
Yeah, so you need to kick it up to 1,000 now. Maybe go up to 750. At 1,000, you want to level it off. Because what you've done is you've removed a lot of antigens or toxic proteins from your body that causes the histamine reaction, which is what you call the flushing reaction. So once you get up to about 1,000 milligrams and no more flashing, you can consider your liver is probably as clean as a whistle. You know, you have cleaned your whistle out. You stop that.
Yeah. Okay. I also started taking since I'm running on the regular niacin.
Yeah.
I started taking the anti-flush niacin.
Don't take that. Pat? Anti-flush stuff has agents in it that mess up, it'll clog your arteries. You don't want to take that. Get rid of it.
Okay, I'll just return and get the regular stuff.
Yeah, just get the regular stuff.
So,
several good companies that make the regular stuff.
So 1,000 milligrams, there should be a max?
There's really bad press on that no-flush, because your body has to, you know, when you take niacin, your arteries get opened up. It's like aspirin on steroids for a heart attack. And when you open your arteries up, it starts a chelation process through your entire body, which is a little hard on the immune system because the immune system's not used to handling that much poison at once. So then it protects itself. It releases what's called histamine. And the histamine will cause that red reaction and that kind of a nauseating feeling that you get. That's a histamic reaction. Which is part of the healing process, but it's a little uncomfortable. So I always tell people to work up to that and just take a little burning at a time, you know. It's like working out when your muscles start to really hurt, then you know you're getting a good workout, you know.
Well, drinking a lot of work would just stop the flushing rather quickly anyway.
Yeah. Drink a lot of water with it, niacin. You want to have a good supply of water on hand.
By the way, you know, CoQ10?
Yeah, that's a good one, too. It's great for muscular.
Is there a CoQ1 through 9?
Yeah, that's all good for the muscular skeletal system. You take any of that stuff, Steve?
Yes, I do. I take CoQ10. I take 1,200 milligrams of CoQ10 a day.
Yeah.
I take a baby aspirin in the morning.
Cool.
Yeah.
By the way, what's the maximum of that stuff you can take?
What's that? There really is a maximum on the oil formulas.
Oh, so
niacin is a limit. You don't want to take more than a gram a day of that. And you don't want to do that all the time either. You kick it back to 500 and do it, you know, two or three times a week after you hit the 1,000 mark. And that's plenty.
Okay.
Yeah. And take vitamin C. And if you take L-cysteine, vitamin C and niacin, L-cysteine, you can buy it as a amino acid. It will raise your energy level up quite a bit. You'll find yourself, you know, getting younger.
L-cysteine?
Yeah.
I'll write that one down.
Yeah. It works. They work really good with the Silver Power Dome. That Silver Power Dome really enhances all of that. It enhances the assimilation rate
right.
of the vitamins that you're taking, and it also enhances the detox rate in the brain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take a niacin and wearing a Silver Power Dome, you're really cleaning your brain out. That's when you get that. Somebody smoked 10 years ago and quit and hadn't smoked a cigarette in 10 years. After that program for about 6 or 8 weeks, then the urine will smell like tobacco for a little while until it's completely flushed out, even though it's been sitting dormant for 10 years in your brain.
Amazing.
All right. And let's talk about another question.
Yeah.
Let's see. I have a question. Where did I sit here? I was wondering, does the quantum heart energy receptor, what exactly does that thing do?
The quantum heart works on three different energy systems or chakra systems or endocrine systems at once in the body, whereas the normal one only works on one. And the way it's able to do that is because of the bridge alignment. And people would try wearing three different receptors with three different stones, and that wouldn't work because they had three different bridges and it confused the body.
Mm.
Putting all that energy in a Cassegrain radionic configuration on one bridge solved the problem, but it took us 10 years to figure it out. We're real happy with that one. But we didn't,
I don't know why we didn't do it originally,
but we never could think that well. When we got into quantum work with a projector, we learned a lot. And so we were able to realize that, yeah, with one bridge, you can do quantum entanglement on the bridge. That was called SPDC process. And so we developed that, and it worked out pretty good for us. We sell a lot of those. Do you have one?
I have the Ankh one.
Oh, okay, the Ankh is good.
Oh, the Ankh, wonderful.
Yeah, that's the one Steve and I want.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk to you.
Yeah, that one's different. That one just works on works on cellular DNA memory. And what it wakes up, the sleeping part of your DNA, because you have five seed atoms since creation. And so all the lifetimes that you've experienced, that intelligence is lied down in your DNA. And that's why they're researching genealogy so much, to get a historical viewpoint of what your future health problems plus and minus might be.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ankh works on that principle, a different device. And that's why it's got such an interesting shape, and it is a shape that the Egyptians well knew about for the same reason, except we just electrified it, you know, by putting it on a receptor. So the Ankh is another one. It's completely different. I'd like to have both of them, you know. I'm still wearing my old one here. My old gold and platinum, it's a nice one, but not really what I want to be wearing these days, even though it works great. Buddy Boo likes it. Good bird today. Good bird, actually. Yeah, Buddy had a shower. We took a shower before the show, and of course Buddy had a shower with us, you know. So we're getting running out of time here, Steve.
Yes,
Derek.
We are.
Got to let the next person's on. Buddy Boo, look how quiet he is.
Yeah.
He does not want to move, or he doesn't want the show to end. But he's sitting there so quiet with that bird.
He's been quiet ever since he came over to you.
Yeah,
hi, baby.
Yeah, he's
How you doing? Hi, buddy Boo.
He loves Dad. Boy, when I go out there in the kitchen where he hangs out, he jumps off his cage and starts chasing me all over the house. He loves his dad. In the morning when he sees me, he gives me a big morning squawk.
Wow.
He gets a big squawk in the morning, don't you? Then when I take a shower with him, he gets right under the shower, gets soaking wet. He loves that.
Does he?
Oh, God, yeah. He can't. And he talks in the shower. He sings in the shower.
That's wild.
He's real quiet today. We were talking about Area 51 and aliens, and he likes to hear about that stuff. So anyhow, put your phone number out and your website, and we got to get out of here.
Yes, my website is Stephen Barish, S-T-E-V-N, or Steve Barish, I'm sorry.
You gotta,
Steve Barish. And it's phone number is 585-746-8321.
And we're Paradyne, and we're 1-800-729-2603, Paradyne.com, or Dr. Fred Bell, and that'll take you to our website. You've been listening to the Dr. Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, and that is brought to you every Thursday at 5 Pacific on bbsradio.com. So there we go. I'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Signing off.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.